Did you know that there are 22 million college students in North America? Is that not the most amazing thing when you think about so many times that you go to a ball game on a university campus? We're near the University of Arkansas, so we regularly go. And imagine the multiplication of that all over North America. And I wonder, what does it mean to understand those 22 million college students? Some of you have children that are university students. You might need this podcast as your therapy for the week. Or, you know, perhaps you're a minister and you're trying to reach those university students for Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're out here in the business world and you're trying to think about whether or not you're going to hire any during the Christmas season or next summer. Well, how in the world do you understand and relate to 22 million college students? Well, today, that's exactly my subject on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
Today more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and serves as the president of the National Day of Prayer. He believes people change the world. And with his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
What a unique opportunity to learn from two of my favorite young men in this world. First is my son, Dr. Nick Floyd, and the other is, like a son, Brian Mills. Both of these men are changing the world, but more specifically, God is using them to understand and relate to college students to the point that they absolutely are there understanding their lives and communicating with them every day. Well, today, Nick serves as our lead teaching pastor and staff leader for Cross Church Northwest Arkansas. He teaches every week at the Fayetteville campus, the third of five Cross Church campuses. And then, of course, Brian. He has served in ministry for 19 years, spending 15 of those years leading some of the largest student ministries in the United States, and now leads a college ministry that will minister to 1,000-plus students on Wednesday evenings. And even a few weeks ago, had a couple of thousand in the Greek Theater on the campus of the University of Arkansas. Well, Nick, as the lead pastor, preacher, teacher of the Word of God every Sunday, in four services of which hundreds of college students come, from what you see, now that you have been doing this for about 7 years in that location, what attracts college students to you? What attracts college students to the ministry of Cross Church?
Well, it's an honor to be here today with you, Dad. And when I think about that question and what we've seen over the last almost 7 years now, it really is a move of God. I think we have to start there. This is something beyond anything that any of us planned or expected to happen. But we kind of woke up with the move of God in our lap, and when we really, really try to think about what happened, it's interesting because we didn't set out to be a college church. In fact, we were, if anything, we were trying to do the opposite of that, trying not to be an only college church, but be a church that reaches all generations. And so I often say it this way to people. We think it's a very healthy thing and a good thing for a college student to come in and sit next to a 70-year-old and sit next to a fourth grader. And yeah. We think that's a very healthy thing. Mm-hmm. And it teaches them much about the Christian life that they may not understand and may not grasp in a college-type-only church. And so, really, we've had students flock to that. And I think there's a sense of family longing that they maybe never got in their own home that now they find in a church setting. And so we've seen the Lord do a lot.
Mm. Well, Brian, you and Nick both, you have to talk the language of college students. And that doesn't mean that you're jacking around with them or, you know, you got to be crazy with them, even though obviously there are those moments. But how do you both understand their language? I mean, today there are moms and dads who are going to listen to this podcast, business leaders, people that lead in healthcare and all kinds of places across all of this part of the world, and some in ministry. And they're going to be asking themselves, how in the world do I understand their language? How do I speak their language? What is their language?
it's a learning process, or it has been for me. I'm 39 years old. So when it comes to the aspect of diving into the collegiate world, my generation is somewhat past it. And so what we've found out is we have to spend time with college students. Mm. And spending time with them, we have to listen to them. And in listening to them, their thoughts and their motives, some might be a little different than the way we grew up or in the way we view things. And so in the midst of listening to them, hearing from them, spending time with them, it really opens up a door for us to be able to mentor them.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Nick, what would you add to that?
I would say in my experience, I have a very low tolerance for any bull. And if they sense some level of a lack of transparency, they shut down and they will run. But in a sense of, like Brian said, if they feel like you're commanding or a dictator up there, they will not respond to that. But if they feel like you're a normal person in the same battles that they're in, living the Christian life, walking it out, walking through the same temptations, the same struggles they are, man, I think they just grasp a hold of that. And I think that's where we've just got to continue to talk to them in that vein, because they really have responded.
Well, Brian, when you look at thinking about their professional pathway, their vocations that they choose, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Some of them are extremely serious about it. Mm-hmm. Some of them are you know, away from home the first time, and they've never had such a great time as college because they don't have to do anything except what they want to do. But I'm not really talking about that, because there is a serious nature of those students. I mean, they're really committed. I mean, it's pretty amazing who sits underneath you on Wednesday nights, or Nick on a Sunday morning. I mean, we're talking about future doctors and lawyers. We're talking about people out here who are going to change the world in business. So with that, how do you teach them how to move their faith and integrate their faith in that part of their professional lives?
Well, one thing that we really try to focus in on is something that you say often around here, is to train them to be with their life, to be a kingdom influencer. Mm. And I would say we use that phrase all the time with our college students. No matter what environment you in, you are called to ministry and you're called to be a kingdom influencer. Whether you're down the road at J.B. Hunt, if you go over to China to work in business, if you move to a different state, if you go into the medical field, wherever you are, you're called to be a kingdom influencer, so that you can step into your atmosphere, whatever atmosphere the Lord gives you, and make a difference for the kingdom.
Well, Nick, you have a unique ability, as well as Brian, that God has opened up such a pathway to minister also to those who minister to university students, to those who coach them, teach them, lead them, mentor them from the academic as well as the professional realm and even the sports world. Do you think that athletes in college speak a different language than the rest of the university?
I'd say absolutely. They are, you know, you often look at the coaches, well, they make all this money. You look at the players, well, they get all the scholarship, and why would anybody ever complain about that kind of life? But what Brian and I see on a daily basis is they don't have a life.
That's right.
Their life is football, baseball, gymnastics, whatever it may be at the university. And although that comes with many benefits, that also comes with intense pressure. And as we often say around here, people are crazy, and especially fans are crazy.
Yeah.
And so these are guys and girls who have all the pressure in the world. And in the settings where we get to talk to them, I told a group recently, I said, listen, we don't need anything from you. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for tickets. We don't need autographs. We're good. Mm-hmm. We're just here for you. And I think they really begin to respond to that.
That's great. Well, you know, the interesting thing about it, it really changes dynamics when you see perhaps a victory or a defeat on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night in the college football stadium. And you have known those coaches. You know those athletes. And you know their families. I mean, it really changes everything. It doesn't matter what the sport may be. And there's a sense that that we're there, in my opinion, not to really redo the ball game with them, but to be there for them, to encourage them, and at the right time, talk to them about that, if they want to talk about that. Because in reality, immediately, it doesn't matter whether they win. Well, if they win, they like to talk about it quick. But, you know, we don't always win. We're in ministry. We don't have every win around here all the time. There are times that we're disappointed, and there are times we just need space to overcome that disappointment. But what have you sensed when disappointment comes to a college student, how you can help them the most?
When we watch them face a defeat or an injury, we've had several athletes, not just in football, but in all of our sports, quite honestly, in the past year, we've had some athletes step into some pretty major injuries. Mm. Some have cost them their careers. And when you walk with that through an athlete, they're hurting. I mean, they've lost something they've committed their life to since the age of four. Mm. And they need to hear a compassionate heart. Mm. And several of them, I'll immediately text them when I watch them on ESPN, or you're watching them their game and they go down and you know it was pretty major for their life. I'll immediately text them, and I always add them to my prayer list, and I let them know they're added to the prayer list. Mm. And then I meet up with them and just try to encourage them and pick them up.
Yeah, it's amazing how I do not know of an entity, a body of people that can come alongside of college students any more than a church. And so, Nick, as you stand up on a Sunday morning and you imagine that there are several hundred college students with you, and yet you're speaking to 2,000 to 3,000 people in the services at Fayetteville, I mean, do you keep in mind their life? Do you just ignore it and throw them all in with the pack? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think I regularly reference them when I'm trying to apply it. And again, back to our thought about building a multi-generational church, I'll often say it this way. If you're, you know, whether this happens with your grandchild or this happens in the dorm later, which is two vastly different seasons of life. But I think we're constantly talking about how your faith plays out. And I will often reference, hey, what about when this happens with your roommate or stuff like this? And I think any of those little hooks to their heart is a great way to just bring them back into the message. You know, they may have zoned out for a second. Mm-hmm. What about this with your dorm mate right here? And it just kind of snaps them right back in.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, Brian, it's quite amazing the favor God has given you with those students. I mean, I've watched it. It's pretty amazing. And you've got to pinch yourself to realize that, I mean, you've spoken to large groups before, but when you're talking to 1,000 or so college students, and I mean, a week, I mean, you and Nick, I mean, the multiplication of that over the course of the next decade of your lives would just be breathtaking.
Yeah.
And so what would you tell a corporation right now, a business right now? Why should they entertain hiring a first-year good college student who just graduated? Why should they not walk away from them because of fear, but why should they walk toward them and hire them?
Well, I can tell you one thing. They're motivated and driven if they're a good college student. Mm. They're driven to succeed. They're driven with a lot of enthusiasm. They bring a lot of enthusiasm to a company. They bring a lot of drive to a company, and they're going to push those ahead of them because they want to win. Mm. Now, there's a list of college students that don't want to win as well, and you've got to cipher through those in the interview process. We can cipher through the whole millennial conversation of, well, are they millennials? Or are they this or that? And we can get in that debate. But what we have found is when you create a vision for a group of college students, they will chase after it with reckless abandon. Hmm. I couldn't imagine being an employee of a Fortune 500 company and filling my team full of those and saying, let's go get it done. Hmm. And they'll capitalize on the vision that you give them, and they'll chase after it with everything they have. And so through the process of personal development and through some other things the company will provide to make them great, I think they provide something that we don't have just with as we get older. Mm-hmm. We lose some of that, and that's what these young people bring.
Yeah, what would you say, Nick? I would piggyback on that. If you give a college student or a person right out of college something they can genuinely believe in, they will go after it with reckless abandon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so those in our church context here, those college students who have really bought into the mission of what our church is doing, they're some of the greatest church members we have at 20 years old. Mm. And so I would say for the business leaders out there listening to this, if you can capture their hearts and point them in the right direction, they will be some of the best employees you'll have.
Yeah, and you guys are both very good about talking to them about one day you're going to be out here in this world, and you better watch what you put on social media. You better watch your actions, your lifestyle now. It's all going to follow you. Tell us something that you tell them and you warn them about that maybe they can't see today, but you're trying to help them prevent from making a bad mistake.
The baggage that they're going to carry with them through life is something we warn them often. So if you get into a social media battle online, you're going to carry that. The employees are going to look at that. You get in a bad relationship and make a lot of mistakes in your relationship, you're going to carry that into marriage. Those choices you make are going to follow you, and it's going to be baggage. And the more bad choices you make, the more baggage you carry in life. So how do we counter that? We teach them how to live a godly life and how to follow Christ and how to be faithful and what sanctification looks like in their life so that they can pursue Christ and not carry all that baggage in to their future.
Yeah, that's a great word. Isn't it amazing, though, while they're unique in so many ways, that's really the same conversation that we have in the pulpit every Sunday morning to every one of our members, isn't it? Doesn't matter who they are or what they're about. How would you tell a college student to grow? And I'm talking about growing in Christ is one, but let's talk about a spiritual matter or maybe a financial matter or perhaps a professional realm. How would you tell them to grow?
I often joke that in my own life, the younger I was, the more I knew. And now the older I get, the less I know. And so I would challenge college students just towards a life of humility. And as passionate and as zealous as you are right now, life has not happened the way that it's about to happen for you. And life has a way of humbling you and making you realize you don't know everything. And so, you know, for those college students in our care, whether it's in a church setting or business setting, I think if we can build humility into these students and these young adults, it will carry them way beyond any one of our church context or business context, but into their marriage and to their, you know, one day as a parent. And I think it just, you know, kind of exudes everything.
Yeah, that's a great insight. Servant leadership is really, really powerful. Brian, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, one thing I would add is to lean into the older generation. Don't rebel against the older generation. Mm. And so that somewhat goes with humility, but don't reject those who have gone before you. Mm. Lean into those who have gone before you. Learn from them, and then go lead the way you feel like you need to lead.
Let's talk about our church for a minute. Let's talk about all of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of churches all over America that have university campuses near them, close to them, within driving distance of them. And so many of them are completely ineffective in reaching them. So give me two or three things, each one of you, and y'all converse between yourselves on this, that it's just important that any church that wants to reach college students needs to really do this. What are those two or three things?
You know, I think sometimes when people in churches try to reach college students, they think they have to change everything about their church, which, you know, you do need to make changes, I'm sure, along the way, just like we've had to make changes along the way to reach a new generation. But the bottom line is, while they may not be the focus of a church, they better be a focus of the church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God forbid that we find ourselves 5 miles from university and we're not seeing students come to Christ. And thankfully, that's happening. And so I'd say it's got to be a focus of the church. Don't make it the focus. It's sure got to be a focus. And then I would just say, college students, they've heard the world for 18 years. They've seen the emptiness of that. And the interesting thing, I think Brian could probably speak even more to this than I can, but they don't want a soft message. They don't want fake stuff. They don't want surface stuff. They like the hard truths of Scripture, and they respond to it. They run to it. And anything that seems half-hearted or less than genuine as it relates to the Bible and Bible teaching, they don't have any time for it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing. I don't want to talk too much about it, but I think the life change aspect of it is pretty big. There's nothing better. I could show you message after message after message from college students say, will you pray for my roommate? My roommate just gave their life to Christ. Pray for so-and-so. And I mean, they're just all over life change. They love sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we've moved away from the gospel in a lot of churches today. And college students want to lean into the gospel. We've been seeing many, many, many come to know Christ. We baptized 20 college students just this past Wednesday night. Mm. And it's because college students are reaching college students because they're fired up about the gospel because there's a vision to do so.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a great, great testimony. Thanks to both of you for being on this podcast with me today. But I want to give you a chance, each one of you, just say a brief word about anything that you want to say about leadership, not only to college students, but to all adults. Encourage the group today who's listening. Brian, you go first.
I would say this. I would go with what Nick said earlier. Stay humble and stay pure and stay in the Word of God. There's nothing been greater for me as a leader, as a pastor, as a husband, as a dad, than my personal time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it takes great humility. It takes great focus to get up early in the morning, spend that time with Jesus. And it's probably the greatest thing I do in my life. So That's what I would encourage anyone who is listening today with.
Thank you, Brian. Nick, what about you?
Yeah, I would back that up. And you can't have something come out of you that's not already in you. Mm-hmm. And so from the perspective of us as followers of Christ, we got to be walking with God. That's what determines the course of our lives and of our ministries, whether we're in full-time vocational ministry or not. We can't take people where we're not at the present time. And so it's just a constant push towards pressing into the Lord.
Well, thanks to both of you for being on with us today. And I want to say to all of you who are listening today, I just want to encourage you to really get the big picture about life and about leadership. 22 million college students. Who do you know? How many of them can you call by name? Do you ever have any of them in your home? Do they feel comfortable enough with you just to say hello? Do you go and reach out to them? Do you have a conversation with them? They're people. They're just like you. They need friends. And we've been telling our Cross Church family here for several weeks, people need each other. And it doesn't matter whether you're 18 to 22 or whether you're 92 to 96. Everyone needs someone else. Thanks for listening today on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.